Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Chad Hartman is off. I'm Dave Schrader. I am in with you this afternoon. And joining me today is Senator Karen Kaiser, who's here to share some invaluable insights from her new book, Getting Elected is the Easy Part, Working and Winning in the State Legislature. It's a one-of-a-kind resource for newly elected officials, advocates, and students of government. Karen Kaiser is an American journalist and politician of the Democratic Party. She represented the 33rd Legislative District in Washington State Senate and served in the Washington State Senate from 2001 up until December 10th of 2024. We're lucky enough to have her join us now. Thank you so much for joining us, Senator.
Thank you, Dave, for inviting me.
I'm very curious. You know, we watch these elections roll out. We listen to our politicians come forward, promising us change, promising us grandeur, the new America, the way we're going to take things back or the way we're going to break the old habits and come up with something new. And it seems that as soon as they gain access to the position in which they were elected, very little is done for the promises that were made. How disheartening is it to get into politics, to come in bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, and wanting to make a difference, only to find that politics is not that cut and dry, and that your desire and hope of wanting to make changes don't always come to fruition?
Exactly. That's why I wrote the book, as a kind of guidebook, if you would, on how to get things done and make real change. Because a lot of people come in, as you say, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, ready to change the world, and they run right up against a marble hall and hit their head in that marble, and they can't seem to figure out how to get through the doors. There are a lot of hidden secrets and doors in every institution, and legislative institutions are very traditional, often very slow, and you need to figure out how to make them work. It takes time, and it takes a little bit of guidance.
Right, and I'm glad that you've got a book out there that maybe will give some good insight so that people can learn from the mistakes of the past and start to make some real changes. But when it comes to the concept of making these promises to begin with, how do we start to tamp that down and give us more realistic expectations when it seems like the laws are written in a way that politicians can say whatever they want to say without any recourse, without any kind of accountability held towards them if they fail in the things that they said that they were going to do?
Well, there is recourse because there's always another election. So if voters decide that they're promises were broken or not fulfilled well enough, voters can turn them out of office, and there's always that recourse. But the fact is, changing laws takes time and is difficult. It is a precision of legislative work that most candidates don't understand, unless they've been in some other governance situation with maybe a city council or something. At any rate, it's very wonky, and people get very frustrated with it, regular people as well as legislators. But I will say this, Dave, your state legislatures get a hell of a lot more done than we see from Congress in the federal government. I think in our state legislatures, where we work on issues like education and environment and health care and transportation, all the nuts and bolts kinds of things that make everyday life work for all of our working families, I think you see a lot more actual legislating get through the whole process than you do, sadly, at the federal level.
Right, but that's... Right. That's mommy and daddy at the federal level. They're the ones that are supposed to be making sure that things go right so that we can feel safe. We can feel like our futures are open to us. But it doesn't play out that way. And I think that's why so many people are looking to break the political structure, why they're willing to vote for Donald Trump or willing to vote for a Jesse Ventura to kind of break the status quo so that we can start from a new ground zero.
I would say the status quo is already broken at the federal level. Congress can hardly get anything done except a budget, and that's usually a continuing resolution approach. Our state legislatures, however, can grow up and be very, very mature at getting stuff done. And I argue that we can get it done before the feds, whether it's increasing the minimum wage, providing paid family and medical leave, increasing unemployment benefits, helping everyday working people do better. And we can do that with our education, with our environment, and with our voting rights, with our labor rights. All of those issues can be addressed at the state legislative level and will be in states that have the members interested in those issues.
How do we go about getting our members interested in those issues instead of just the big political spectrum of, you know, taxes and abortion rights, which it seems to be at the forefront of every election series? How do we start getting them to look more into these things? And I know voting them in is one thing, but a lot of them say that that's what their goal is and then don't necessarily have any steam behind those desires to make a change.
Well, I think Minnesota's done pretty well compared to some states. And it appears that, for instance, from my understanding, you were able to provide school lunches for everybody in public school. Well, that's a damn sight better than a whole lot of other places. And I think that relieves a lot of working families from not only paying for school lunches, but making them every morning if you don't have the one at the cafeteria. So I think those kind of steps really can make life better for working families.
Oh, agreed. And there are little steps like that that seem to be made. You know, I brought up before the elections this year, as we look at the suicide rate of our veterans and the way that our veterans are treated in a lot of ways, you know, we bring them in, we break them down from who they were into what we need these military personnel to become. And then when they're discharged and they leave, there's no real deprogramming. There's no reintegration that seems to be working there. We have homeless veterans. We have people that have spent their life doing things for the military only to come back and find a lot of their private life in shambles. And, you know, homeless, when we've got in many of the states abandoned military facilities, that it seems like, why aren't we spending some time and effort into rehabbing and refurbishing these to give our veterans a place to live and restart their life?
Dave, those are great ideas. Unfortunately, mostly you're talking about soldiers in the federal armies or air forces and navies. And that is not something our state legislatures have jurisdiction over. However, we do have an ability, and I'm not sure if Minnesota has done this, but to provide really accessible mental health counseling through the new 988 telephone system that's been built, and a lot of states have joined. And those kinds of real-time, real-life services can be available through state action.
Right. And that is an important element, and I hope people heard that. The problem that I see in having relatives that served and friends that have served is the fact that when they were in the military, they were taught to be strong. They were taught to fight back their fears, their inadequacies, whatever made them feel weak. Making that call is very hard for a lot of people because they're afraid that they're going to be judged. They're afraid that they're going to look as though they're incompetent. And that's a frightful place for people to be. That's a place that, you know, we want our veterans, we want all of our society to feel like it's okay to make a call to ask for help before you hurt yourself or someone else. But we've got to start finding a way to get that in gear and during the deprogramming or reacclimation to society, have that, re-doctrinated into our service military personnel. We have to take a quick break. Senator Karen Kaiser is with us. We'll continue with this discussion right here on News Talk 830 WCCO. It's 1:49, your time check for the Lindus Construction time check. Time to call for a free attic inspection and heat map analysis. Welcome back to the program. Chad is off. I'm Dave Schrader. In with me right now on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline, Senator Karen Kaiser. We're discussing her book, which is out and available. Getting Elected is the Easy Part, Working and Winning in the State Legislature. This is, I I'm glad to see somebody has put the time and effort into doing this, showing the way to make these changes happen. And give us some more perspective, if you would, in the last 5-6 minutes we have here together, Senator, of things that politicians should be taking into account when they're stepping into these new positions, and what can they do to be more effective in championing the points that are so important to us Americans.
Well, I think a little advanced planning would be in order, and making sure that you have allies lined up to support what you want to do. Individuals have a very hard time if they don't have an army of advocates behind them getting stuff done. And let me say, we do have an opportunity to be much more active in our state legislatures in the next few years. Because if I understand what the new federal administration from the Trump presidency is going to bring, there will be lots of, federal stepping back on a lot of the rules and regulations and so forth. For instance, on the issue of overtime, we expect to see a reduction in the federal standards for overtime pay. But states can stand up and insist on having overtime paid after 40 hours a week. And that's a pure pocketbook issue that states can address if the federal government pulls back overtime standards, which we expect. It was part of the Project 2025 roadmap. Another issue that I think Minnesota just did is paid family and medical leave programs that ensure job security for people who have a baby or have a medical condition that needs help attending to. And we passed a similar law 5 years ago in Washington State, and it is the most popular state program we've ever seen. Over 1 million people have used it.
Right, and ours will begin launching in 2026. It provides paid time off when a serious health condition prevents you from working, when you need time to care for your family member or for a new child, for certain military-related events, or for certain personal safety issues as well. And there are two main types of leave. That'll be the family leave and the medical leave. So that information is up. Just look up, folks, paid leave Minnesota, and you'll see the information about that on the internet on the paidleave.mn.gov. All right. Sorry. I just wanted to make sure people could find that.
I'm so glad you have that information. I think Minnesota is the sixth state in the country to pass that and get it going. So we're making progress on a lot of these things, and we have to do it one state at a time at this point, it appears. But hopefully we can coordinate some of our states and do a little better.
Senator, one thing I am concerned about, and I think I speak for a lot of people, and the fact is that, you know, with more and more benefits, it's the money's coming from somewhere. And when we're upping the minimum wage, we're changing the paid medical and paid leave. We're doing this. It has to come from somewhere, which affects the businesses. And in some instances, the smaller businesses cannot maintain, and it's crushing the American dream. The larger corporations are moving and taking their work to other countries, or moving them out of our states because they can't afford it and they don't get the tax breaks here that they might get elsewhere. How do we start to maintain that and keep things at an affordable level so that business can make money, we can make money, and we're not breaking, you know, our own backs in doing these changes?
Well, I found our economies are much stronger when people who are working every day have enough money to spend it at our businesses, whether it's retail or restaurants or any other of the businesses. If they don't have any money to spend at the restaurants and the department stores or in other venues, the economy slows down, and then we have less activity and less growth. We've got a very strong, healthy state economy, and I think Minnesota does as well. And we haven't seen any kind of major exodus of businesses as we've raised standards, and people have had higher incomes, and they are more prosperous. I think that's a win-win for everyone.
The concept, yes. The problem is, though, is that we're making $15 an hour now, and the cost of living is going up exponentially, where a meal at a restaurant for a family might have been $20 for a family of four. It's now looking to be $40 to $50. Gas prices are up. Cost of housing is up. Utilities are up. So that higher standard of living we're making is actually devalued because of the cost of all the rising prices.
Prices have risen in large part because of the interruption of that awful pandemic and the supply chain problems and all of those other issues. It's moderating. It's moderating significantly. And wages are still going up and at a moderate rate as well. And the fact is, nobody's getting rich working 40 hours a week in a working class job, but they should be able to pay the rent or their mortgage and have a decent life. That's the American dream.
It certainly is. But listening to a lot of the youth, right, that are stepping up and saying, listen, I'm making 4 to 5 times what my parents did now. And, you know, they were able to maintain a house, one person working, pay for their car, sometimes a second car, their utilities. Now we're at a point where I'm making 4 or 5 times what my parents did, and I'm not able to move out of my parents' house. That is a real concern.
It is, absolutely. There is a bifurcation happening. In Washington State and other states, there's a huge growth in the billionaire class, if you would, people who have millions and millions of dollars, many of them from high tech. But there are other categories as well. The financial world, for instance, has huge numbers of very wealthy people. And then the working class have had basically a boot on their neck for about 25 years. That boot has to be removed so that they can do better as well. Personally, I think everybody does better when they have a collective voice with their employer and have a way to bargain for better wages, benefits, and working conditions, and everyone comes out better. We just had a very long and difficult strike against the Boeing company by the machinist union here in Washington State, and everybody's going to come out better with that, too.
We're out of time. Senator, thank you so much for joining us, but I do want to make a quick mention for our listener that sent in the message. The real forgotten people in all of this talk has been the senior citizens on a fixed income, whether it's small retirement or Social Security. Home insurance goes up. All the energy costs are going up. There's just no way to stay on top of it. We are aware we need to make these changes. Senator, thank you so much for being a part of the show with me today.
Thank you, Dave. I hope everything goes well.
Check out the book, Getting Elected is the Easy Part, Working and Winning in the State Legislature. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We've got more to discuss. I'm Dave Schrader in for Chad right here on News Talk 830 WC.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. for millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
DCL.